Welcome to Mark and Friends for Thursday, April 11th, 2024. I'm your host, Donna Leland. Proverbs says, a cheerful heart is good medicine. By that standard, today's guest should be called Dr. Humor. He has been dispensing laughter to audiences young and old for decades. Welcome, Tim Hawkins, to Mark and Friends.
Great, and it has been decades, literal decades. So thank you for making me feel as old as I am. I think it's about embracing reality. I'm in my 50s. The bar is really low now. It's the you know what I'm saying? My goals are just so low, but they're easier to attain, and I love it.
Isn't it great? I mean, you've got a little age on you. It's kind of like, Tim, think of it as patina. You know, things with patina go for a much higher value on Antiques Roadshow. You get a lot of your humor just from living, don't you?
I do. I used to write what I thought was funny, and then I was realizing that I would get bigger laughs when I just told the truth.
Yes.
So I'm like, there you go. So I was like, I'm just going to live my life, and I'm going to have my notebook handy. Mm. And, you know, because people, they laugh, I think, harder when they relate to what you're talking about.
Oh, you know, right? How we found you? Homeschool family. And my kids love that because we homeschooled and we had a 12-passenger white van. So
you had the same van we had. Yeah, right?
You were narrating our life is what you were doing. And we just howled.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's how you go viral. That's how a lot of the videos I've done, because there's these little subcultures, you know.
Yeah.
Homeschoolers being one of them. So, my wife and I, I'll say my wife, she homeschooled our kids for many years, and we've done the co-op. So it's like we know it. We know that world. So we kind of know what hit and what's real. Once again, I didn't make stuff up. It's like, okay, a lot of homeschoolers do vegetable co-ops.
Absolutely.
A lot of homeschoolers do make their own clothes, and they're really good cup stackers. It's like, and they can read. So, I mean, very relatable.
Some people say we're goofy, mysterious and spooky. Our neighbors think we're kooky, a homeschool family. We drive a white conversion, we learn about the Persians. Our six-year-old's a surgeon, a homeschool family. We learn about creation and classic education. We're sponsoring a Haitian, a homeschool family.
Meek. Unique. Geek.
The parents are the tutors, we build our own computers. We never go to Hooters, a homeschool family. Have recess in the foyer, and then we read Tom Sawyer. Our nine-year-old's a lawyer, a homeschool family. We never leave our dwelling, our children are excelling. They're champions at spelling, a homeschool family.
When did you realize you were funny and you could make people laugh and make money?
Well, making money. I used to get in trouble for it.
Well, I was going to say, didn't they just move your desk to the principal's office just to cut down on your travel time?
Well, you know what? Back in the day, I don't know. I'm not going to guess your age. But when I was a kid, if you got, they would spank you at school.
Okay.
And then you'd get another one when you got home.
Yeah.
So I learned timing, and like there was a time for that. So I would, if they gave me the stage, I would take it. But that's, back in school, that was kind of, I'm a redheaded kid. I didn't, so redheads have to find a way other than their looks to, to get attention. And I could do voices and things like that and mimic stuff I saw on TV or whatever. Yeah. And that was just kind of my role.
Yeah. And you found your place and people enjoyed it. So if you were making them laugh at you, they weren't going to beat you up. They weren't going to cut you down.
Right.
You were actually, priming the pump.
Right. The beatings were less severe. Yeah, that's true. It was like, just smack him once. That's all he needs. But knowing that you're funny, I don't know. It's a difference between making your friends laugh and then making strangers laugh. It's like, that's the question. Can you make people who don't know you, who don't have a skin in the game and don't really, and don't share some of the same, references. It's, can you make them laugh too? So that's a really fun challenge. And But I tried everything else. I do comedy out of desperation. I literally tried every other job. So this is the one that kind of stuck. So I'm
actually
thankful for that.
You're making money and feeding your family off of just very polished dad jokes.
There you go. And that's the problem. It's like I get to this age and everything is a dad joke. It's like, no, not just every joke I tell is a dad joke, but I'm not here to impress my kids. I'm not supposed to. I think that's a dad's job, is to make them as uncomfortable as possible and, you know, embarrass them. And if that's what I enjoy, that's my spiritual gift. And right. So, but I know we love one another. It's like everybody's funny. Not everybody in my family is so funny. It's just they don't write it. You know, they have their own sense of humor. And we've just always kind of cultivated that. And it's really just a lot of fun watching them be themselves and just hang out, you know.
I love marriage. Marriage, yeah, is awesome. It's so beneficial. So many benefits for a guy when you get married. Like when you get married, you're a guy, you get a little helper in the car. I love my little helper in the car. She knows everything about driving. It's very convenient for me. But sometimes I get confused. See, I don't know how I get anywhere without my helper in the car. I'd probably be bouncing off trees and buildings and stuff, but she's there to help. Like, she tells me when the light changes colors and everything. It's very convenient and helpful. Like, it's green. Thank you, Helper. Because I was confused. I didn't know. Thanks, Captain Prism. She's very helpful in the car for me. I always know how fast I'm going with my helper. She lets me know. You know how fast you're going? Yeah, I got a speedometer right here, but thanks for the backup. That thing ever snaps in half, I got you to back me up. When you see old guys driving 35 on the freeway, it's not because they want to. They've been trained to, for crying out loud. Their foot has been governed by a woman. You ever see, like, oh, I want to go faster. I just don't think I should. I just feel like something horrible is going to happen if I go any lower. Going to get an ice pick in my ear hole or something bad's going to happen, Roy. She's very helpful in the car. That's right. She gives me statistics when we're in the car. That's right. You know that men have the most accidents. Gee, I wonder why that is. Let me ponder that for a nanosecond. Bing! It's because the woman in the passenger side, because you always react to every little thing. And that's okay. Just don't do the noise. Look at that. That was the garage door opening, sweetheart. We haven't left yet. Can you give me a change of pants before we go? These aren't going to work for the gala. I'm sorry. The silver was moving. I thought it was a Volvo. I'm sorry. We're driving one night. We're driving one night. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning. And it's just, I'm just so tired. I'm just hallucinating. My wife's just sacked out. She got that eyelid. And we hit a bump. 2 o'clock in the morning. She goes. Are you okay? Then she says this. You want me to drive?
Now, when you meet people, so we've watched you, we've spent time with you on the videos, or maybe saw you in person, and then when you meet them face to face, do you feel like they immediately expect you to make them laugh?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh,
you're a
absolutely.
Laugh factory, like you're a laugh machine.
Oh, yeah. It's like, and that's why you know, for years, and I still do it sometimes. I don't tell people what I do, because then after that, they think everything I say is supposed to be, you know, funny.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, that's not how I create my material. It's not me trying to be witty or try to come up with a magic trick with words. It's really just living your life and noticing those things we all kind of experience. So, yeah. And like you said at the beginning, it's like, am I going to use this, in part of my act? I mean, I don't even know. I mean, I've been doing it. I'm a professional. I don't know where it's coming from. I don't know what's going to work every time.
Yeah. And your audience, you have to know your audience. I know when people meet me and they find out that I'm on the radio, it's like, oh, do a weather forecast, you know?
Right.
It's like,
you don't do that with a doctor. Yeah. Take out my appendix. You're a doctor, whatever. It's like, do your job right now.
Yeah. Do your radio voice. I'm like, well, this is my radio voice. I just talk and I get paid.
Well, that's the thing. You know what? I think the only thing worse would be to be a chiropractor. All my chiropractor friends, they find out, oh, then they're cracking everybody's backs at the party.
Yeah. No, it's a great job that you've got. And I love the skill set that you bring to this because you're also musical. And so you're able to play the guitar and sing these really funny songs. And so you can pack into, 3 or 4 minutes about, 50 laughs.
Yeah. The music was all because from the beginning, I was doing all age groups, from young to old. And music has a way of bringing energy to the show. I always enjoyed musical comedy growing up and just music. I get more inspiration from music than anything. Just the energy and just I love it so much.
Mm.
And yeah, it's so I'm kind of, I don't know. I joke that I'm a frustrated rock star, but I think that it's just music is another way to kind of give people a chance to be entertained or to make a piece of material fun and fun to listen to.
And you also have like this physicality to you. I mean, you use your body in really funny ways and, you march up and down the stage and, you throw in things like I did my own choreography, and then that just alone elicits a laugh. Yeah. How long are your programs?
Well, sometimes I go longer than I want, but it's just fun. I don't know. I do about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Total stage time. We do an intermission in between. But it's more music heavy on the second half. So really it's about, I just want it to feel like a hangout. We're just hanging out in my living room.
Yeah.
And it's really changed that when I really like that because I've learned to play piano too. And, it's not as manic as it used to be. Hopefully I can find enough people that believe the same,
Yeah, good new material. Do you ever sprinkle in some of the favorites?
Oh, yeah. I used to be, it all has to be new, but, people come and they're like, oh, I hope he does this old thing, this Chick-fil-A song, or if he does the homeschool something or this or that. So I think there's enough new when I do shows that like when I do an old classic, it's just a different feel now. People get out their lighters on their phones, and they'll wave them back and forth. And that's some of those songs and bits are, that's how they came to know who I am.
Yeah.
And that's how they, like you say anything like the homeschool material, that's how your family kind of, gelled and that's something that you shared.
Yeah. It's so much fun. And nice thing is too about you is, I could let my children watch your videos.
Yeah.
You are home. You're family friendly.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a fun challenge. Can you be like, how funny can you be in a clean format? And once again, I think that some of the funniest comedians in history, they didn't use blue language. They were just talented and they had a way of, of speaking the language of the people.
Yeah.
And it's something that they can understand. So it's a fun challenge.
It really is. I think it takes more intelligence to deliver a joke without, a piece of vulgarity in it. I think it just shows you had to think a little longer.
You're right. Cause it's, they say that comedy is about shock or at least about surprise. And sometimes people lean on those words. That's their shock. It's not the actual idea. So, and that's what's kind of cool about that is because comedy has gone down that road so far, is that the cleaner you can work, the easier it is you can set yourself apart. And so many people out there love that style, and they just don't get a whole lot of it, or at least any that's good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's now, what has been your inspiration? Like, you know, other than just everyday life, are there people in your world who, you know, you kind of look at and emulate?
Yeah. Well, as far as in my career, I have a good quality set of friends who do what I do, that we're constantly, you know, not only supporting each other with our material, but just as people who, you know, my comedian friends, who we have those same experiences and the same lifestyle, as far as the same work, the same hours and travel and all of that. Really good friends in comedy, but just really good friends in general. Not only, you know, of course, my wife and my family, who I love spending. That's my favorite thing in the world, is just spending a day with my family. And just God has given us really wonderful friends that fill in those gaps and require that support. You know, where I'm at a point where I need to talk to somebody about this, and there's just somebody that I can call and get not only mentorship, but just support, and, you know, people who couldn't care less if I was a comedian. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's like, we love you for who you are, not for what you do. Mm-hmm. And not everybody is like that. A lot of people are just, they treat you different just because of what you do. And that's not what life is about. Mm-hmm. I value people who are just real and authentic and love me for who I am.
Yeah. And just are just so over the star status. I mean, they've heard you, you know, they smelled you at your worst, you know, they've heard you at your worst.
Yeah,
and right. You're just like, yeah, that's just Tim Hawkins. I mean, you know,
right.
He has to
right.
shower too. Sometimes he forgets, but he does have to shower too.
I do. I really, once or twice a day.
Yeah.
And you know, and I've never gotten into the fame thing. The fame is fleeting. I mean, I never wanted to break it big. That's why I was thankful for YouTube. You can just find your own audience and do your shows, and I never wanted to be any kind of industry, anything like that, because fame is fleeting, and
it really is.
And it's not something that I really treasure. I do enjoy being good at something, and I do enjoy doing something that I love. It's still been a tough road, but I think God has put us in a position where the schedule is more balanced and more doable now. It's not a constant, you know, half the year on the road. And I'm just very thankful for that, and very grateful that, you know, we made it through.
Yeah. How many stops would you do? Like, right now you're on tour and you're going to be coming to Northwoods Community Church in Peoria, and that's going to be April the 25th. So not too far from Springfield, but how many other stops are you making?
Yeah, I used to do about 100 shows a year. Now I do about 45, 50 shows. So that's about, I do about 24 in the spring and 24 in the fall. And that is good enough for me.
That sounds really enjoyable. You know, you get out, you see America.
Yeah. Yeah. I get to see, what's cool about it is that when you go to these places, it's kind of like you're shopping for vacation. Like, you go to a fun place. Oh, I got to bring Heather back here. We got to bring the kid, you know, this is, because it's a beautiful country, and there's some parts of the country that aren't so beautiful. this is pretty rough.
Yeah, but you go there anyway, and you know.
You do, and I'm thankful for it. Hey, look, I go into places that these out in the country, and there's 300 population, and you sell 2,000 tickets. You're like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
And that's just the power of the leverage of the internet, and I'm grateful that has been there to just kind of, like I said, just build your own fan base and do the kind of shows that you want to do.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, the old saying is, my friend, if it doesn't play in Peoria, you know, so you're going into the heart of it, my friend, and I'm sure
I love it.
Yeah, it's going to play well.
I know we got a lot of different people here from different backgrounds and stuff, but that's what this song is about, how we're the same. I bet you everybody in this room probably has one of these at your house right now. Can Canadian coins and a birthday candle. Allen wrench and a suitcase handle. 14 pens that don't work, a new note card and a button from a shirt, an old antenna, rubber band, and a knob from an unknown door in my junk drawer. There in the kitchen junk drawer. You know I'm wishing I knew where all of this came from, what we need it for. Pictures of children we don't know, and coupons to places we don't go, and collars from old pets that ain't alive no more in the junk drawer. Yeah. Twisty ties and ketchup packets. A broken string from a tennis racket. Outlet covers, batteries, and ticket stubs from Chuck E. Cheese. An old cordless phone and an old phoneless cord in my junk drawer. I live in the kitchen, the junk don't. You know I'm wishing I knew where all of this came from, or what we need it for. A keys to a car we sold last year, a red beer koozie, and we don't drink beer, and a friendship bracelet from somebody I don't like no more in the junk drawer. Yeah. G.I. Joes and Barbie parts, milk jug rings and Nerf gun darts, a garage door opener, remote control. I hope that's a melted Tootsie. An airplane made of balsa wood.
Don't throw it out, it's still good.
But I like to throw it all in the fire. And we could make s'mores with a jugger. You know I'm a wishing. Well, there's a Game Boy memory card from 1994. A post-it notes and AC adapter, super glue and grandma's clapper, an empty roll of duct tape, my rotten apple car in my junk drawer, in my junk drawer.
Well, thank you so much, Tim, for spending some time with us, and I'm sure our friends will be looking forward to seeing you.
Yeah. Thanks, Donna. It was great talking to you.
That's Tim Hawkins. And if you'd like to see him in person, he's going to be in Peoria April 25th at Northwoods Church. Thanks for listening to Mark and Friends here on WLUJ. We're a ministry of Great News Media.